1-1. And good afternoon to each and every one of you. Welcome to the 311 Radio Show, where each and every Sunday at this time, we come into your homes to teach you, educate you, laugh with you, smile, cry about what is going on in the Barbados Fire Service, what is going on around the world, and just to keep you entertained or engaged for the next half an hour.
And informed
for the next half an hour. He always has to bring work into it. With me today, as usual, we have none other than Mr. Jason Collins.
Good afternoon, Barbados. Good afternoon to you, Natasha.
And how are you doing?
I am great. I'm glorious.
Good. And of course, we have the runaway pancake. None other than the divisional officer, Wayne Vaughn. Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I am well. Good afternoon, Barbados. Good afternoon to you and Jason and all of our listening
buddies. Good afternoon, sir.
Right. So, yes, you know that once he's on the show, he's bringing something to light, something that would happen there in operations, and we're going to get into that quite shortly. Now, over the last couple of weeks, before we delve into that, there has been some training going on within the Barbados Fire Service. Members of the public would have seen officers out with helmets, backpacks, and such like journeying. We would have been in the media talking about officers led by the chief fire officer.
Correct.
Yes. Going through Coles Cave, looking at the gullies where persons are quite adventurous, because we know we have adventurous people in Barbados who like hiking. And we've been going through some of these trails, and seeing what it is, if anything should happen, if we are equipped and ready to go to function there. So, Jason, you would have done Coles Cave. How was that experience?
Yes. Well, after the incident that took place only a few weeks ago, I was part of the first crew that did the Coles Cave training. And it was, a quite interesting experience. It was fun. And also eye-opening, because you get to understand that it is all fun and games when you're walking through or just going through for recreational purposes. But when you consider it from a firefighter's perspective and you have to think about rescue and having to use or what we call the Stokes basket and so on to rescue a victim in those conditions, I can say that that is not going to be any fun if it ever has to happen, God forbid. It is because there are some tight spaces, mm-hmm. there's some areas where the water comes as far as up to probably your chest.
Mm-hmm.
There was even a part where we had to turn around because we could not get through a particular part because the water had filled that particular area. And that is something we'd like to remind the public to be mindful of when they're also trekking and doing their adventures and within these caves, that the water levels can change and sometimes dramatically and drastically depending on the amount of rainfall, depending on the kind of weather that we're having at any given time. Because as we went through, to me, when we were coming back out, you could see that the water levels, you know,
had risen
a little bit, a little more than what they were when we entered. Oh, okay. So it's something to be mindful of as you do your adventures. I know a lot of persons recently have been exploring these caves. But it was indeed a very good experience. And the guys were all, enthusiastic. We had some members from GIS who actually went in with cameras and all, and it was actually an interesting experience with those.
I'm hoping to see some of that footage at some point in time.
I would love it.
Those who cried and those who were in pain.
I know all cried. I know a few persons were a little sore, and
would have lost shoes.
Yes, yeah. My colleagues that lost some shoes, I wouldn't call any names, but yes, they know who they are. But it was all in all, and it just shows you that the type of terrain that these places have and that the kind of things that you can encounter out there,
mm-hmm.
for sure. Wow. And you also went on a hike that was more of a hike than a cave experience. On Thursday, she did where was it? St. Thomas, somewhere in St. Thomas, was it?
Yeah, that's quite correct. We were still in Barbados, as he said correctly.
St. Thomas.
I know I ended up out there by Torrey Spring. I was never so glad to see civilization. Imagine you're going through this rough terrain having to climb over these rocks and boulders and whatever. And there's an area in there that apparently that there's a dam. A dam was created in there to hold the water that comes from the Spring Farm area. Spring Farm area all through there. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, the Lord decided to bless us with more waters on that day.
I heard that you were blessed.
When I get home, I had to get WD-40 because, you know, my water is rust. Rust when I get back.
It reminded you of the breast cancer walk a couple of years ago.
And yes, funny enough, Vaughn was very much involved in
the
that.
Present. That's why he mentioned that.
I dissolve in water. That's a scary thing. I said I dissolve in water, so that's a little scary.
But honestly speaking, and I mean, thanks to our tour, who at this point in time, I am so bad with names, but really handsome dude. Hopefully that pays off. That correct.
I didn't carry the tour.
That's why I said really handsome guy. He does these hikes with the Hikers Association or something like that. I need to get more information. But leading us through there, and I mean, honestly speaking, and for some person like me, who are adventurous, you know, normally sometimes you may see a place has two access or two roads, and you don't necessarily decide to take the easiest. Mm-hmm. You want to go through the little crevices, you know what, you want to test your skills and test your mind. And that put me in the frame of mind where we think persons exploring, they're also going to be of that same, you know, vibe. I want to try the rougher terrain, and things can happen so easily, because I will tell you, our adventure was not without mishap. I didn't tell you this, but my ankle actually went into a hole. And one of the guys, thank you, Eiffel, he had to help me to rescue my foot. Otherwise, I would have probably gone along and leave it behind. As I said, it was an experience. Yes, we have been hiking before, and every time we go through a new avenue, it is always a new adventure, because you can't say that any of them are alike. They're not the same. And it just opens our eyes as members of the service. You know what? This is what the persons in public are doing. This is why we need to practice, why we need to train, why training is so essential to our line of work. Sure. Always keeping ourselves abreast of what is going on out there. And I'm sure at some point in time, I'll see if I can get some of the footage to post on our website or Instagram page and such like. But this is one time I would say I did miss the original officer acting Vaughn. I know it would have been a lot more skin mold, but
what I can say is that I know he would not have been too keen on the cold skin, because there was water up to around my chest area, and I know he has a alarm system that as long as the water goes past his knee, it goes off. So.
I am from St. George. I used to be 6 feet tall, and I went into water to dissolve, so I don't do water very well.
Your story, and you stick to it.
Be a relevant.
We always heard that frogs don't like salt water, but the water wasn't salt water.
Abnormal.
Will do. But yeah, for those persons out there, again, when you are going to be doing these adventure tours, whether it's hiking the gullies, whether it is the caves, I'm asking you to be extremely vigilant. Let persons know where it is that you're going. Always reach out to someone. Let someone know what it is that you're doing, where you are going. If you're going in your groups, well, it might be a bit safer. If it's only one, two, three of you, you definitely need to let people know what is going on. And this is just a word to the wise. We're not trying to spoil your fun. You never know. Invite us along, and we may tag along and do some of these hikes with you, provided that you can show me how you can get out of a situation. Yeah, in taking a chance, be lost in a gully for the next 3-4 days. Yeah.
Actually, that point you raise is a rather important and a point that probably we may oversee at times, where you said to notify somebody that if you're going to go in places like gullies and caves, especially a cave, notify someone that where you're going, because the reality about the situation is that you more than likely you'll probably have no signal, even if you have your cell phone.
Yeah, because our cell phones exactly. they ring down there for a while.
No signal or anything like that. So it is important that someone knows where you are, so that in the event that you don't return or that they haven't seen you, they will know. Well, look, they say they were going to cave X or Y.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important.
One of the other things that it did also highlight is that we knew we were getting close to civilization when we started to see the rubbish inside the gullies.
Yeah, that's a sad reality.
That was one of the sad realities. Of course, here I am looking at looking at all these trees that I can't touch, what they call the sandbox, this one with all these little prickly things around it. And then there's the macaw. I was wondering where they would name a tree like that. But for me, I think the better name for that tree would have been the porcupine tree. It actually has like these porcupine things sticking out of it that if you make the mistake and touch it, they say it is going to be very painful. Yeah. And imagine seeing that, seeing the work of nature, seeing these different trees, seeing the different grass, going over the obstacle course where you have trees that have fell, if I'm going to use the lumberjack term, trees that have fell, and you have to climb over, and yes, your ex, and then you realize it as you go on, oh, well, I'm coming up to civilization. Here are all the plastic bottles. Here is an old stove. Here is an old microwave. And again, this is a water course, people. So imagine what is happening with all of these debris, all of these things inside this water. What is going to happen when that water then starts to push? You don't recognize, we do not recognize to this day how we continue by our negative actions to impact not only the environment, but also ourselves. Then we complain about flooding in this area and flooding in the next, but we help to contribute to that.
That's correct.
And that is one of the things that I would say really turned me off when I was going through the course. I didn't mind the trees or anything like that. I didn't mind falling. I didn't quite fall. I had 3 points of contact. So I technically did not fall. I did not fall. I didn't hear that.
I asked if you were pulling the ladder.
Listen, training always kicks in. Okay, good. Ladder, pool, whatever. And to see that you're going along, you're admiring, you're just breathing in depression, then you realize, okay, as I'm coming, okay, it's really despicable. And I think we need to honestly do better and recognize this is our country and it can only be what we make it. So a word to the wise. So the vigilant officer, you've been rather quiet in the back. And I know you have some concerns, something that would have happened quite recently, an incident that you would have responded to. So the floor is all yours as I retreat in silence.
Oh, wow. In silence. Natasha Ford. In silence. Anyway, I just thought of the...
You're muted, sir.
It has been extremely busy, I just wanted to highlight some things I know that you guys would have mentioned in your previous programs, and I just thought it would be important to reiterate it because I witnessed it again. I think it was last Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. We responded to a call of a house fire, and our investigations revealed that the persons were storing gasoline in an area which they used underneath the stairs for as a room for a washing machine, a little small room. And them and the neighbors identified that just before the fire, they heard a loud explosion, and the back of the house was pretty badly damaged as a result of the fire. And my investigations have me to believe that it was the vapors from that gasoline source in that container, that the vapors had built up to the point where it had become an issue. And I just want to remind Barbadians, when we are storing gasoline and other solvents and things of that nature, even the things that we use in our homes, to be very careful how we store them, allow for them to vent, and don't put certain things with other things because it can become a hazard. Along with that, I was doing a presentation last Thursday, and I told the persons when we were doing the presentation that one of the issues I would guarantee them that I would learn something before we were done. And one of the persons highlighted to me that if you realize now you drive into a gas station and persons are using their cell phones as a method of payment. Yes. So you see where I'm going with this, you train persons, you see where I'm going with that. We are using, you know, before they used to say turn your cell phones off when you're near
gas pumps
and things of that nature, but we are actually using our cell phones now as method of payment. And we know that cell phones release electromagnetic energy at all times. And so that may be something we may have to revisit because I think it is also very, very dangerous. When the person said that to me, it was an aha moment. And it's just one of those things that I think we also need to consider as we go about our daily lives and we try to improve the way we do things. Are we asking for trouble? You know, I not mentioned this to you two before because I wanted to see your reaction, but only Thursday, somebody said that to me. And it is something that if you remember now, you know, I don't know exactly what it is they do because I still believe in either using my debit card or using my cash.
Yeah.
But apart from some way of using making payments now when you put your gas in and you're using your phone. And I just think it is something that somebody can either come on and refute what I'm saying and tell me how negligible it may be, or that, you know, what I'm saying makes sense. I don't know what the two of you think.
Well, it's quite interesting. So I can agree with you. If someone who is more knowledgeable in the subject area want to come on and you can contact us, of course, and come and speak about it, because it's something that I have never heard of that side of it. And when I consider that you say that cell phones, you have to turn off or you shouldn't use your cell phone in the gas station environment, and now we are paying via those same cell phones, it obviously, as you said, makes you go, aha. So...
Mm-hmm.
Definitely it would be something that I would like some more clarity on myself.
We know that there's always going to be improvements in technology. We know that there are going to be apps out there available for making payments and whatever else. But now, in light of what you have drawn to this discussion this afternoon, I'm speechless. We definitely would need to do due diligence, ask around and see what app this is that is being used. Correct. To make payment. How safe is it? Because earlier, and what I wanted you to allude to or speak about more is that I know the general perception is, and even for me before joining the Barbados Fire Service, I thought that when it came to these liquids, whether it be gasoline, diesel, tinners, whatever, that it is the liquid itself that the fire had to become engaged with in order for there to be a fire. But as you can see, even in our background, and this is where I learned about the true dangers of vapors, because at the airport, when you think about it, and the planes, that planes use jet B1 fuel or gas. Those are the fuels that are stored up there. And again, this goes back when I had recruited, this is what we would have learned. And I cannot remember, say the vapors alone are flammable up to a certain amount. I would need again to go and look back at it to see how flammable these vapors are. So again, educate first, because sitting here and saying it is the vapors, people tend to think, man, it can't be vapor. You got to actually take the gasoline and pour on whatever it is you want, burn, light the match and put the match on that. So tell us some more.
I guess the best way, those of us who drive cars and do like myself and Jason, wait until the car down by quarter to go and put in gas. you will recognize that when you remove the gas cap, you usually get that pushback. You get a puffing sound, and you usually see the best way to put it is fumes coming out of your tank. You understand that the kind of pressure that builds up in your tank, although your tank is pretty big and it has a nozzle and it has a vent hole, and you see the kind of pressure that builds up in that. And so, contrary to popular belief, most times what you see burning is the vapor. The vapor burns and the liquid diminishes as the vapor is burning. Vapor is predominantly what it is that catches on fire. That explosion that those persons in that district experienced that day was that pressure building up in that little container had nowhere to vent. And so whatever the ignition source was, it caused an explosion before the fire. And I don't know how many of you have ever done that. Sometimes you want to scrub the bathroom and you want to mix a little bit of vim with a little bit of Clorox and a little bit of, and then you start to get these toxic fumes and all this air. Lame away by itself is problem.
I wanted the bathroom bright, sparkly.
Before it was a fire, also, I remember having an experience like that. I think I was still in school too, and you have your chores, you got to clean the bathroom, and I put together these things, and I really started to feel like nauseous, and then I learned then that that's not the thing to do, which I never did again, you know? So I basically had to learn the hard way. Luckily for me, I caught on before it was too late. But it's a very dangerous practice for sure.
Your question, how important is ventilation when it comes to these things?
Absolutely critical.
Think now in terms of the gas bottle that we store in cupboards. And we keep saying to persons all the time not to store gas bottles in cupboards. And when I say gas bottles, I'm talking about the liquefied petroleum gas, LPG for short. You know, you go, whether it be Rubis, Sol, you buy the 20, 25 pound cylinder, these ones that you put under the cupboard. How important is ventilation? And do you think that if this area where this washing machine and these are the bottles with the gasoline, if it was a well-ventilated area, do you think that it would have posed this problem?
Absolutely not. You hit the nail on the head. Ventilation is so critical because that pressure, that temperature, or that ignitable source has to build to a what we call a crescendo, to a level where it would cause support combustion. And if you have constant ventilation in there where the air is now mixing and so the fuel air mixture is not to the level where it can cause combustion, that they could probably store that in there for years if they had proper ventilation. So although we don't encourage you to store gasoline and gas bottles and things in closed areas, if you ventilate it properly or you open, for instance, those of us who keep our gas bottles in the house in a cupboard, as Natasha rightly said, please do not keep them there. But if you can't do better, it is always advisable that every so often, open the cupboard door, let the cupboard door open, and let it sit for 15 minutes to half an hour, where any buildup of gas in there will have a chance to dissipate, and you would make that chance of something like that happening so much less possible.
Again, it goes down to, so hence, even in terms of the hose and whatever else on these things.
Yes.
And I'm talking about persons who are away from home for extended periods of time. Sometimes we come, oh, I smell gas. And what's the first, and human nature is to flick a switch. You cannot see gas. I mean, if we could have, we would know who around us is doing nonsense. But... at the end of the day, realistically, that was you. I would be able to see. I would need you to confess. But because you cannot see gas, you have to rely on your other senses. And especially, this is the sense of smell. And persons, you know, they turn on a light looking for it. let it be your thinking now onwards. If something like this should happen to you, forget the light. You don't need to see, because if chances are when you do that, because of that spark, you can end up, well, ashes to ashes and dust to dust.
I think one of the problems a lot of persons do not know that there is actually a spark when you flick a light switch. I think we as trained individuals would know that, but there are some who would know, but there are a lot of persons who generally do not, because I've, during certain presentations already, I have alluded to this same point, and a lot of persons were in shock when they said that there's a spark that happens, that occurs when you turn on a light switch.
As minute as it may be.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The reason for the reason why they don't see and don't recognize that there's a spark is the reason why there is the faceplate. The faceplate is really supposed to stop that spark from being for causing problems. But sometimes, for whatever reason, the plate may not be sitting properly. May therefore, while there's a little bit of space between that and the junction and the box itself, and so now that spark has an opportunity to jump out, or their gas has seeped in behind, there where the spark is taking place. But all of these are things that you have to be very, very wary of.
But one of the things that we definitely do see a spark sometimes is when you're plugging things into electrical outlets. Correct. That's one that you don't miss in some cases. If you're seeing a big amount of fire, I'm going to say to you now, call a certified electrician. You should not be seeing that amount. I think, son, it's just a small little spark. It's okay. Well, it should not be a reason for major concern. But if you do think, you know what, this doesn't sit right, there's nothing wrong with being cautious. There's nothing wrong with taking matters into your own hands and calling a certified electrician. Do not call Vaughn, because he's a jack of all trades and he can get this done and that done and whatever else. You need to have a certified electrician, somebody who has papers.
Not the electrician friend.
Not the or the electrician apprentice who no learning. But you want to get a little break. Right. That little break could now cause you to have to look for cement board and some other kind of building material. Correct. To replace your home. And I think you said what really stood out was that at that building that you attended was a wall structure.
Yes.
So yes. Imagine had it been a wooden structure.
It'd be a completely different story.
And I must take the opportunity, however, though, to send out thanks and praises to the neighbors who hopped into action and who made who stopped a bad situation from getting worse. Right. When we arrived, most of what had to be extinguished was already extinguished. Our job there was pretty much just taking information and putting out smaller fires. But as you rightly said, if it was a wooden house, it would have been a lot worse. And that the neighbors had all pitched in and helped that situation from becoming worse.
Community resilience, as we've spoken about here on countless occasions. So I applaud those neighbors for the excellent job that they would have done.
And I think one of those neighbors actually worked with us. So if she's hearing this program.
At least two of them.
All right. I am most impressed that you have picked up something along the way. So
learning
how kudos to you.
Absolutely.
Right. We're almost out of time, actually. It's time flies when you're having fun, as they say. Yeah.
Wow.
Half an hour is almost gone already. And just in case you are now joining us for this show and you missed it and you're like, oh, I missed it. They're soon finished. They're wrapping up. You can always listen to the podcast via the VOB's website, www.vob929.com, www.vob929.com, or the VOB's Facebook page, VOB92.9FM, VOB92.9FM.
And to reach the members of the fire prevention unit, in case you have any questions.
If you have any questions or queries, you can call 535-783, well, it's 29 up to 33. But yeah, we call it 29 up to 33.
So we go 29, 30, 31, 32, 33.
33. Correct.
No, 34. see where we don't invite trouble along too often.
So those are the numbers. You can also be encouraged to follow the fire service Instagram page, which is Barbados Fire Service on Instagram, and you can follow us and you can catch up on all of the different information that we would disseminate via that medium as well. So you have all ways to catch up on the goings on within the Barbados Fire Service and around your country.
And on that note, we want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in once again. Thanks for allowing us to educate you, to inform you, and of course, to laugh with you and to make your day a delight. Thank you so much, Divisional Officer Vaughn, for taking time out to be here with us.
I'm going to eat my macaroni pie now.
Not still. You had that last week. And thank you very much. None other than Fire and Life Safety Officer, Mr. Jason Collins.
Thank you for being here as well. And thank you to leading Fire and Life Safety Officer, Natasha Ford. Don't look at me like that. You are leading Fire and Life Safety
Officer. Right. And on that note, as we always say,
Fire prevention is our intention. Have a wonderful week, Barbados.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You can depend on the Barbados Fire Service 311.